The reading for today is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new dough, as you are really without leaven. For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Therefore let us keep festival, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The gospel is taken from that of St. Mark. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying one to another, "Who will roll the stone back from the entrance of the tomb before us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. But on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Let's begin this sermon, tradition of St. Louis de Montfort, by offering up the Hail Mary, especially to console Our Lady for the sorrows that she endured for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a story related in the 29th chapter of the book of Genesis. It goes like this. Well, Jacob, when he fled from Esau, who wanted to kill him, he fled to his old country. And it says there in the book of Genesis, he came and he saw a well in the field and three flocks of sheep lying by it. For the beasts were watered out of it, and the mouth of the well was closed with a great stone. And the custom was, when all the sheep were gathered together, to roll away the stone, and after the sheep were watered, to put it on the mouth of the well again. And he asked the shepherds who were sitting there, "Why don't you roll away the stone?" He says, "We can't, till all the sheep are gathered together. Then we remove the stone from the well's mouth that we may water the flocks." And as they were speaking, Rachel came up, and she was bringing her father's sheep to be watered. Remember, her father was Laban, and Rachel was bringing up the sheep to be watered. And when Jacob saw her, he knew that this was his relative, and he knew that these were the sheep of Laban, and he removed the stone himself that covered the well. And having watered the flock, being overcome with emotion, seeing one of his old relatives, he wept. And Rachel, realizing that this was a long-lost cousin, so to speak, she went in haste and told her father. And when he heard that Jacob was there, he ran all the way back to the well, invited him back into his house, and he said to him, thou art my bone and my flesh." He welcomed him into his house. Now, what on earth does this story have to do with the resurrection? It has everything to do with it. God foreshadowed what he would do through his resurrection by this very story. Look at the similarities. A great stone covering an opening in the ground. There's a sort of a need. Someone has to roll away the stone. And he says, "It's a very great stone. We can't until everyone's there, and then we can move the stone away." But then Jacob, moved by supernatural strength, rolled away that stone to give water to the sheep, to let out what was behind that stone, the well. Let that well water out to give life and water to the sheep. And then we notice what happened. We notice that he wept. Okay. Then the woman who was there, Rachel, she ran back and got her father, Laban. And he came running back and welcomed him into his house. This is exactly what happened on the morning of the resurrection in fulfillment. Because here in the morning of the resurrection, we had a stone covering not a well, but an opening in the ground. And just as the well brings forth that which gives life, so what was holding back, that stone that was holding back the tomb, that was blocking the tomb, was also holding back what gives life, Christ himself. Not natural waters to water the sheep, but supernatural waters. His body, blood, soul, and divinity gives supernatural life to his sheep. And just as Rachel ran back to get her father, we notice that Mary Magdalene, later on in the week, we'll read this gospel, but Mary Magdalene ran back to get her spiritual father, St. Peter, first pope. She brought him back, and he ran back, just like Laban did, to the well, in great joy. And just like Laban, Peter welcomed Christ into his life. Once again, this is the lesson for us today. This is the lesson. God has great things in store for us. But we have to be gathered together. Remember, they couldn't roll back the stone until all the sheep were gathered together. So if it's been a while since you did the Holy Mass, come back. Because what we receive at Holy Mass is not well water, which gives natural life, like in the story of Jacob and Rachel. What we receive here is Christ himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Because that is what was behind the stone of the tomb. God incarnate. Because that's the reality. We shouldn't come to Holy Communion unless we have a mortal sin on our soul. Unless we've got the sacramental confession first. So, we have to notice what happened in the story here in the Old Testament. They had to wait till all the sheep were gathered before they could be watered. And this is the place, right here, where Christ chooses to water the sheep. They have to be gathered right here in order to be fed. This is the place where we get our roadmap to heaven. How many of us here have been to heaven? And notice I'm not raising my hand either. None of us have been there. So we need directions in order to get there. We have to come to the source of those directions in order to get those directions. How many of us would ever go on a journey, take a flight, or wherever, without, you know, getting directions first, or at least trusting someone, like the pilot of the plane, who knows how to get you there? How many of us would get in a car and go to a destination way, not only across the world, but into another world, a supernatural world, without first checking the GPS, so to speak, going on a map quest, whatever it is, to get the directions first? That is what is at stake here. We're on a journey, but we need a supernatural direction. This is what God gives us here. And notice what is the result. This lesson in the Old Testament is telling us that we are like sheep in the middle of the desert. We will die if we don't come to our Lord. We will die if we don't come to our Lord. There's nothing that any one of us can do on a natural level that's going to get us to heaven. We can't build a spaceship that'll get us there. We can't do enough good works that'll get us there. Because all of our works are human works. We have to do supernatural works. Now, to be sure, once the soul is in the state of grace, then we can merit. Okay, but we have to be in the state of grace. And what does that mean? How can we get to heaven if we don't love the good God, right? He wants to call us there, but he's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself. He won't go where he's not invited. So we need to invite him in. We need to invite him in. We need to show him that we love him. And he gives us the criteria. He says, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He also said, the night before he died, his deathbed request, you might say, his dying request, the night before he died, he said, do this in commemoration of me. Do this in memory of me. This is what he wants to be done in commemoration of him. This is our source of life. More than well water in the desert, this is our source of eternal life. Eternal life. That is what is at stake here. Our immortal souls. Our immortal souls. God loves us so much. We can't even comprehend how much. Because God is so infinitely above us. And the fact that an infinite God would suffer that for us. We can't even comprehend that, how much he loves us. But he offers that love to us. He doesn't force it. He invites us. He invites us in. He wants us to accept the invitation. Now I'm going to ask a question to the ladies here. Ladies, how many of you, especially the married ladies here, how many of you would think that your husband would be a good husband if you just spent one day a week with the family? I don't think any of you would tolerate that. You'd be on it pretty good. Well, that's what we're asking us. An hour a week. Could, ladies, could you say that your husband really loved you if he just spent a day a week with you? Could he really love you if he just spent that time? If he just spent an hour with you a week and that's it. That's all God asks. That's all that he asks. Come to Mass each Sunday. An hour is not too much to give, huh? For the one who did that for our salvation. He loves us so much. He wants to release that well water from his very body, his blood, soul, and divinity. Just like his side was open, and that blood and water came forth from his side. So he opened up the tomb for us to give us access to him who is inside the tomb. Our Lord gives us life, who sustains us in the middle of the desert, because we need water in the desert, in the spiritual desert. There is such a desert out there. I think all of us know that. I think all of us are suffering something. There's got to be something that we call suffering. Really weighing on our conscience. Perhaps for years, for decades. Why not get rid of that? Why not cast off that heavy stone that's holding back our Lord? Give it to the good God. Let him into your life. Instead of junk that's out there. Let God in. Let him wire your soul. But come. Come to the place, come to the well where you'll be watered. You'll find such life here. Such source of peace and happiness. Right before our Lord died, he wept. Just like Jacob did here in Genesis. And just like Mary Magdalene did at the tomb when she didn't find our Lord because he was risen. Our Lord wept. It's the shortest line in all of Scripture. It says, Dominus vobis. Two words. The Lord wept. He weeps. Because he knows how much we're suffering. He wants to give us hope. He wants to give us consolation. But he knows that so many don't let him in. That's when he wept over Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that murder the prophets. The prophets that try and bring people to Christ. How I long to gather you under me as a hen gathers its chicks under his wings. And he's gathering us under his wings, the wings of his arms on the cross. But he says, but you would not. He finally said, if you knew, O Jerusalem, the things that were to your peace, things that were to peace. So come back to Christ if it's been a long time. Come back. Come back and you'll find great mercy, great joy, and the peace that I guarantee you will be missing. We know that it is a mortal sin to miss Holy Mass on Sunday. And we know that nothing unclean, as it says in Revelation 21, nothing unclean shall enter into heaven. God wants to wash away that mortal sin. Because if we have mortal sin in our soul, we can't get to heaven. And we can't wipe it away. Christ alone can wipe it away. He's given us the plan for how he wants it that done. John 20, 23, the very day of the resurrection, when he appeared to the apostles and he told those first bishops, those first apostles, those first priests, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you hold bound, they are held bound. That was Christ's last plan for how our sins were to be forgiven. And there's nowhere in the Bible where that plan has changed. So come back. Come back to confession. Come to our Lord, where you will find the waters of mercy. May God bring you great joy, great peace on this Easter Sunday. May God bless you all. And may Our Lady of the Rosary pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.